Lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. It's Tuesday. We get the local view. He's the columnist for the Register Guard. You can catch what he's up to on the cover of the sports section online, registerguard.com. If you're Oregon-centric, try ducksports.com on Twitter at AustinMeekRG. Austin, a happy March Madness to you. How's life?
Hey, Steve. Life is great. How are you doing?
Good. So we've talked the past several weeks, and we tried to convince of certain things. They have an at-large shot if you're the men. Then that wasn't likely. Then we finally said, well, you got to win the Pac-12 tournament. Last week, we played the, hey, why not them card? But apparently, weeks earlier, so you booked your hotel and your flight to Vegas, did not account for them in the championship game. So safe to say they won the Pac-12 tournament just despite you.
Well, I'm gonna stand here today and publicly eat crow, because I think all season I have underestimated, really, what this basketball team is capable of doing. They proved me wrong. You are correct. When I booked that trip to Las Vegas, I did not anticipate that they would be in the championship game. Now, look, money is tight in the newspaper business. We're always trying to save a dollar here and there. And, you know, the idea was, hey, come home a day early from Vegas and maybe spend a little more time covering the Oregon women, who at that point looked like certainly the better bet to be playing deep into March. But, you know, man, that team over the last 2 or 3 weeks has just flipped a switch. They are playing at a level that certainly none of us have seen all season long, and I think it's even surprised Dana Altman. You know, he said something the other day that kind of perked my ears up. He's been coaching a long time, almost 40 years. He said he's never had a team flip that switch at this point in the season and undergo such a dramatic transformation. So if he's saying that, that'll tell you that probably even he did not really see this coming from this Oregon basketball team.
You know, the thing is, I as far as X's and O's over the years, I've had a tendency to be a little gushy about Altman and this coaching staff. And while he talked about flipping the switch, we really have to focus on the coaches here, because they, in essence, had to burn the blueprint and then kind of on the fly alter the complexion of the team. I mean, could they get enough credit for how they were just unyielding the way they tinkered and searched and finally found this formula?
Yeah, I think the turnaround has been a combination of things. As you mentioned, Dana Altman basically had to blow it all up and start over after Bol Bol got hurt. And they did try a bunch of different things. And towards the end of the season, they finally hit on something with Francis Okoro in the starting lineup, basically playing big, you know, starting four guys, you know, 6'9". You know, that lineup, something about that lineup has really clicked for Oregon. But I also think you've got to give a lot of credit to the players, because ultimately, you know, I think they were the ones that turned it around. You know, are they playing so well because, you know, they tweaked the starting lineup or they did this or they did that? Maybe partly, but I think mainly they're playing well because at some point in time, they all really bought in to what Dana Altman had been telling them the whole season. You know, it took them until the middle of February for that to happen. But, man, Peyton Pritchard is playing at an unbelievably high level right now. He's playing, he's a different player than I've seen at any point in his career. Offensively, defensively, the way he handles the ball without turning it over, you know, he's just been incredible these last few weeks.
Yeah.
Ehab Amin, you know, there were times this year, I'll be honest, I watched Ehab Amin and I thought, man, that guy probably shouldn't be on the court. But in Vegas, he was one of Oregon's most important players because he just hustles all the time. I mean, he's all over the floor. So there's a bunch of guys like that who have just elevated their games in this stretch. You know, it's all kind of come together at once, and it's kind of strange. You know, you wonder how that happens. You scratch your head a little bit, but I think where they're at, they don't even want to know. You know, don't even, kind of like a no hitter. Like, don't even talk about it. It's going so well right now. just keep it rolling.
You know, what I find interesting is a couple of the guys I saw, Matt Prehm wrote about it, basically said they looked around the time you said in February and were like, so doing it our way is not working so well. Maybe we should pay attention to the coaches. You know, you see all these teams, they have their pregame T-shirts that say family. You think for Oregon from this time moving forward, as long as Altman is the coach, it should be listen to your coaches.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. This team has definitely bought in on the defensive end of the floor. Their defense over these last few weeks has been incredible. And to me, that's where the transformation has come. And you know, it started with that game they lost at UCLA where they gave up 62 points in the second half. And I guess the only game since then they've allowed more than 62 would be Arizona State, which went to overtime. You know, they give up 48 points to Washington in the Pac-12 title game. Teams just can't score on them right now. And so I'm really interested to see what this matchup with Wisconsin holds, because Wisconsin doesn't score a lot of points either. I watched them lose to Michigan State in the Big Ten tournament, and they scored about 48 in that game. So I think Wisconsin could really have some trouble scoring against this defense.
Talking Duck Hoops with Austin Meek of the Register Guard. I'm hearing a lot about this draw and, you know, Wisconsin, then either a mid-major or this beaten-up Kansas State team. But as excited as everybody is about Oregon, maybe take a moment, because this streak that they're on, while fantastic, has come in conference, and I hate to say it, but if Washington's the runaway regular season champ, the Pac-10 is kind of bad. So who knows what happens when they face an actual really good power conference team.
Well, you're absolutely right. I think it's possible that we've all gotten Stockholm syndrome over the last few months watching Pac-12 basketball. And you think, oh, well, you know, some of these teams aren't too bad. But really, the Pac-12 was really down this year. Like you said, for Washington to be the runaway winner in the regular season, Washington's not a great team. You know, that's a team that's probably going to lose in the first or second round of the tournament. The Pac-12 was just way down this year. And you're right, this whole run for Oregon has come against Pac-12 teams. So what we don't know is how is that going to translate when they face teams, you know, from the Big Ten, or if they run into K-State from the Big 12. But all that being said, you know, I'm not sure they could have gotten a better draw than what they got. To be a 12 seed, you're playing a 5 seed in the opening round. And Wisconsin is one of those teams that, you know, it's probably going to be a single-digit game either way. They don't really blow anybody out. They don't really get blown out. You know, it's just one of those grinded-out games. And, you know, you make a couple shots at the end, you're moving on. And if they play K-State in the second round, you know, my alma mater, it's the school I used to cover, I follow them pretty closely, their second-best player is hurt, probably not going to play in the tournament, they're banged up. That's a game that Oregon very well could win. So I'm not going to be stunned if this is like 2013 all over again, where they get in the tournament as a 12 seed and they end up in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, having this conversation in a week and wondering, are we really talking about Minneapolis? I know I'm insane, but that's just the way it works. So let's do some regional talk, and not necessarily that you have to pick the winner, but in that South, you've got the Ducks at 12, Virginia's a 1, Tennessee's got that killer duet, Williams and Schofield, the defending champs are in there, people are talking about Purdue, like you said, your old stomping grounds. I mean, who are you looking at as the key threats here?
You know, that South region is the one that's really given me problems as I look at my bracket. I said this year I am not going to get sucked in by Virginia. They've screwed me too many times. I've had them in the Final Four, and you know they always lose early. So, I told myself I was not going to get sucked into that this year. But then I'm kind of looking at that bracket and saying, well, who else am I going to put there? I like Tennessee. I'm a little bit skeptical, you know, Rick Barnes in the tournament. that's another coach who hasn't been a great bet in the tournament. Maybe this Tennessee team is different. I don't know. If there's any region where I think a team, you know, a lower seed could make a run to the Final Four, it's probably that South region. Because I think overall, when I look at the bracket, it's going to be a lot of chalk. I like the top seeds in a lot of places. I'm just not sure about that South region.
I'm talking March Madness with Austin Meeker, the Register guard. Now, in the Midwest, I mean, you literally have the top two seeds are not only Blue Bloods, but that's the color of their uniforms in Carolina and Kentucky. Wofford's a great story. Kansas is all banged up. Auburn won the SEC tournament. Who are you looking at here?
Well, I think it's a collision course with Carolina and Kentucky. Yeah, I don't see anybody else in the Midwest who could stand in the way. As you mentioned, Kansas, you know, they got a 4 seed because they got some really good wins early when their team was healthy, but they were not impressive basically all throughout the Big 12 season. I kind of like that Auburn team. I think Auburn's a team that could get hot. They shoot a lot of three-pointers. They play pretty aggressive defense. I kind of like Iowa State. You know, I was watching a lot of their games in the Big 12 tournament. They're really fun to watch. They get up and down. They shoot a lot of threes. But I just think, you know, as is going to be the case for me in a lot of these brackets, I just kind of think it's the one and the two seed that are just head and shoulders above everybody else.
So, well, we're not sold on Abilene Christian there.
To be honest with you, until you said that, I didn't even know they were there.
And why would you? And by the way, famous last words. I'm going to make a little note there. In the
I'll be
West,
eating crow again next week.
Yeah, because I don't remember us talking about Maryland, Baltimore County last year very much.
No.
Austin, in the West, I think the Zags shocked me that they lost to St. Mary's after they beat them like 94-46. But I thought they were worthy of the one line. Michigan has just been a good tournament team under John Beilein. Texas Tech just with that defense. I guess Florida State, they've got athletes. They're deep. A mid-major, if you're looking at it, is Buffalo. Who you liking here?
Yeah, the West is really interesting, and you keep going. Nevada. You know, Nevada's a really interesting team to me. You know, they made a run last year, and they've got basically their whole team back. But I love John Beilein in March. He's one of those coaches that, to me, Beilein in March is just money. So I've got Michigan at least to the Elite Eight. I'm kind of leaning toward, you know, chalk again in the Elite Eight here because I really do like Gonzaga. The loss to St. Mary's gives you a little bit of pause. They've been such a good offensive team all year. How they got shut down in that WCC championship game, I don't know for sure. But I still really like Gonzaga. You know, I liked them a couple years ago when they ended up going to the championship game. And at that time, the whole story was, you know, can Gonzaga ever get to the Final Four? You know, they're always seeded high, but then they match up against another good team with great athletes, and they can't get over the hump. But I think they've kind of dispelled that now. I think people realize that Gonzaga is a team that's capable of getting to the Final Four and even capable of winning a national championship.
I'm really stoked if things run true to form. I think that second-round game between Michigan and Nevada could be awesome. In the East, I think I'm going to make this maybe the most simple question I asked ever in the radio. Duke or no?
Well, if you got to go one side or the other, I'm going Duke. They've been the best team basically all year long when they had their full complement of players. And Zion Williamson appears to be back at 100%. So it's really hard to pick against him. Although if you're looking for a reason, I heard this on the radio today. It kind of surprised me. Duke is a terrible three-point shooting
team.
They're
bad.
They're down around like 30%, below 30%. No team shooting that poorly has ever won the national title. So if you want a reason to pick against Duke, you know, they get in a close game, they could really throw up some bricks, but, you know, still, their athleticism is just on another plane from everybody else. So, it's going to be hard for me to pick against them.
Yeah, and just for a second round game, if Central Florida were to win, just fans of the history of the game, Coach K's real first ever blue chipper, Johnny Dawkins, coaches Central Florida. That would be the second round.
Yeah.
I love stuff like that. Let's wrap with the women. I mean, you consider late in the season the injuries. They lost to Oregon State, blew the lead to UCLA. Stanford in the final, they look fatigued. But you talk about a good draw. I don't know if they could have asked for more. The two games here, then Portland, Notre Dame and UConn are not in there. Mississippi State is. They beat them. I'm still riding them to Tampa and the first Final Four. How do you like where they sit, even most likely without Taylor Chavez, at least this weekend?
Well, if you would have said that potentially the two highest seeds that they would have to beat to get to the Final Four are two teams that they've beaten already this season, I think you feel pretty good about that, especially knowing that those games are going to be in Portland. So, yeah, I think it sets up very well for Oregon, you know, as well as it could have without them getting a number one seed. Obviously, you would like to be a one seed. Mississippi State is going to be a different kind of game. If they play Mississippi State, that's a long ways down the road, I know. But if they get there in the Elite Eight, I remember talking to their coach, Vic Schaefer, after that game in December at Matthew Knight Arena. I remember asking him, like, you know, did that feel like Final Four caliber game? You know, and they've been there. I mean, they've been
right.
In the title game the last 2 years. And he basically said, you know what? Nothing in December is going to compare to what it's like in March. And I think that's very true. So I don't think Oregon can just say, well, you know, we beat Mississippi State in December, so we're going to be able to cruise through there. I know that they're not saying that. That would be a knockdown, drag out fight if it comes down to that. But I don't see anything in that bracket that makes you say, ooh, I don't know if they can do that. That absolutely, it's within their capability to get on a run here and end up in the Final Four.
Man, I am so looking forward to this. I mean, Friday is going to be one of those days where, you know, fans of a program gets a double dip, and then if things go well, it happens again Sunday. So pretty fun time to be covering college basketball here in Eugene. Do you know where you're going? Do we need to clip coupons, hold a GoFundMe, or what with you?
As of this moment, I do not. I'm still awaiting the call to find out where I will be. So I'll keep you posted on that, Steve. But I know that I will be somewhere. I will be covering basketball this week in March. So I have no complaints about that.
All right. Well, we've got the tracker on your phone, so you can't escape. Folks, he's Austin Meek of the Register Guard on Twitter at Austin Meek RG. Great stuff. And if you're staying here, I'll see you at Matt Knight Arena. If not, travel safe to San Jose.
Okay. Thanks a bunch, Steve.
Take it easy, Austin.